Psalm 139, verse 16, this is how the New International Version, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Praise God. I believe that applies to every one of us, that all the days ordained for us were written in God's book. Now, I don't believe he's talking about that God is in control of everything that happens in your life, that everything that happens, every calamity, you know, if you stub your toe, well, that was God's will that you stub your toe. You know, if you break your arm, well, that was God's will that you break your arm. God had that written in your book, in his book, and there was nothing you could do to... No, that's not what he's talking about, but the plans that he has for us, they're written in his book. Praise God. And I love the theme of our vacation Bible school this year. It was called Finding Your Place in God's Story. Finding Your Place in God's Story. And so that really spoke to my heart. I believe that you can do that. I believe that every person, that every individual can find their place in God's story. How do we do that? Well, God speaks to us from his written word, from the Bible, and he gives us scriptures to guide our lives and to show us his purpose for our lives. I believe that God does that. I've experienced that in my life. I want to give you a couple of examples, or remind you of a couple of examples that we looked at last week, and then we'll cover some new territory in a moment here. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, talking about Jesus, it says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me.'" And when Jesus found that place in the scripture, undoubtedly he purposely turned there. But there was one day that he was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he found that place. He found that scripture for the first time, and he knew it was talking about him. Praise God. Amen. Jesus found the place in the scripture where it was written about him. Amen. And you say, well, that's, you know, obviously he did. He's the Son of God. You know, you should find a lot of scriptures about him. But it's not just Jesus. It can apply in our lives as well. Let me give you another example that's not about Jesus. This is Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13, verse 47. They had said in verse 46, "We're going to go to the Gentiles. We're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. We're tired of fooling with you Jews. You don't want to hear the word of God. We're going to go to the Gentiles." It's kind of what they were saying. They'd been opposed by the Jews, and so God had directed them, no, now it's time to take this message to the Gentiles. And so they said in verse 47, "For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Well, how did God command them? How did they know that that was God's direction for them? How did they know that that was God's purpose for their ministry, to take the gospel to the Gentiles? How did they know that? Well, it says the Lord commanded them. Well, how did the Lord command them? Did he write it in the sky? Did they wake up one morning and look up in the sky and he had it, you know, he hired one of those airplane riders? Oh, no, they didn't have airplanes back then, did they? So that wasn't it. How did he, you know, did somebody send them a text message? Did God tweet it to them? No. How did he speak to them? Well, that's what they say there. "I've set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation," is an actual direct quote from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. So they were reading Isaiah one day, and they got to where we know as Isaiah 49, 6, and they read those words, and something went off on the inside of them. And the Holy Spirit said, this is direction for you. This is your purpose. This is for your ministry. This is to guide you. Amen? Praise God. They found the place where it was written about them. They found their place in God's story. Amen. God already had that written in his story, in his book, and they found their place. And that's us right there. That's us. Paul and Barnabas looked at each other and they said, that's us. Yeah, that's us. This is what we're going to do. This is God's purpose. This is God's direction. Well, I believe God can do that and does do that, not only for Jesus, not only for Paul and Barnabas, but for you. Praise God for Mary and for Tom and for Bobby and for John and for Carl and for Mike. Amen? Amen? For each and every one of us. Amen. I know I've experienced it in my life. I begin to share that with you, and this is setting up what we want to talk about today. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3, I was reading this. This has been a few years ago. And I was directed of just reading this passage. And the Lord really spoke to me. I've got it highlighted in my notes here. But that's kind of the way it looked, not literally, but in my heart as I read it that day. These statements that God makes. Isaiah 55, 3 says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Well, it helps when you find your name in the Bible. I know not everybody has that blessing. I don't think it makes any difference what your name is. You can still find your place in there. But anyway, I was reading this and God really spoke to me. Verse 4, "Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people." And God spoke to me and he said, that's what you're to be. You're to be a witness to the people. You're to be a leader and you're to be a commander for the people. And so we talked about last week, the title of the message last week was, "I am a witness." And I shared with you, go back and get that message if you weren't here. I shared with you several different things that I believe that I am a witness to, of the things of God and the working of God in my life, that I'm called to witness that to you and to whoever I come in contact with. So I am a witness. Now, in the scripture, we talked about that too, that we get the Bible definition. I always like to find the Bible definition of something. Amen? And how do we get a Bible definition? Well, from the scriptures around that statement, or from other scriptures that talk about the same thing, we find out what God's definition is. I don't like to just to go. Sometimes it's helpful to go to the dictionary and see what the dictionary says about it. Sometimes I'll look that up, but I like to first find out, well, how does God define this phrase, this term, this word? Amen. And we saw from scriptures in the book of Acts regarding the Apostle Paul that a witness is someone who testifies of what he has seen, what he has heard, and what he has had revealed to him by the Lord. That's what a witness is. So I'm a witness. I testify to you, and I purpose to be faithful to testify to you of what I've seen God do in my life, of what I've heard him speak and say to me from his word and by his spirit, and what he's revealed to me. Amen. Amen. And then the next part of this is he says, "I've made him a leader and a commander for the people." So I want to talk about that today. The title of the message today is "When Leaders Lead." When leaders lead. So I thought about a leader, I thought about Joshua. In fact, before I began pastoring, the Lord really directed me and impressed me with Joshua chapter 1. To read that and to meditate on that, and he spoke to me from that so strongly, and many years ago, and so I want to read some things to you and talk about Joshua and about his example of leadership for a minute. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites.'" So Moses, he had been the leader of the children of Israel, right? Yes. Well, now Moses was dead, and now God had appointed Joshua, as the leader for the children of Israel. Joshua, you remember, was one of the two spies, Caleb being the other, that went into the promised land 40 years before, and they brought back a good report, didn't they? Joshua and Caleb came back to the camp, back to the people, and they said, "We are well able to go in and possess the land because the Lord is with us." Amen. Well, the other 10 spies says, "We're not able to go in because there are giants over there." Well, Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same giants, but they saw something else. They saw by faith, they saw that the Lord was bigger than the giants. Amen. And they said, "Hey, God has said that we're going in. So if God said it, it has to be. Let's believe God and we'll go in." Amen. But unfortunately, the people sided with and believed the evil report. Hey, this is a good point here, side journey. Make sure that you side with God's report. Amen. Amen. You know, in just about every situation in your life, you'll have an opportunity to choose between one of two reports. The report of the Lord, what God said, a good report, a report of faith, or a report of doubt and fear and unbelief. Amen. And it can cost you 40 years if you choose the wrong one. The children of Israel chose the wrong report, and they wandered in the wilderness and finally died in the wilderness after 40 years. It cost them, didn't it? So it's important to believe the right report. Amen. It's important to believe the report of faith. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So do that. So they brought back that good report. They said, we're able to possess the land. Joshua also, it says he was here in verse 1, he was Moses' aide. He served underneath Moses. He served as his assistant. He was right there with him. Moses went up on the mountain. Joshua went up as far as he could go, and he waited on him. He didn't go down with him. And, you know, when they built the golden calf, he was right there with Moses. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So he was a servant himself. He was closely followed Moses' leadership. Well, that's how you can't be a good leader until you're first a good follower. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll skip down to verse 5 of chapter 1 here. And the Lord is still speaking to Joshua. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. I really remember when the Lord spoke these verses to me many years ago, even before I started pastoring, but I knew I was called to pastor. And he was speaking to me about my ministry and about how I was to lead the people that I would pastor. He said, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Now, Joshua was leading the people into the physical promised land, the land of Canaan, that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joshua was leading the people into that land. He said, you'll lead these people to inherit the land. Well, as new covenant believers, there is a spiritual promised land. Amen. That we've been given. Amen? Amen? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, we have obtained an inheritance in Christ. And there's a spiritual promised land. What is that? That's all that Jesus came to provide for us in redemption. All that he did in his death and the shedding of his blood and his resurrection, all he purchased for us, God wants us to enjoy that. God wants us to walk in that and to live that in that and to live victorious lives through that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And the Lord spoke to me from that scripture, said, you're going to lead the people to inherit their promised land. Amen. Amen. So that's my mission. That's my job. That's my vision as a leader, to lead you to inherit your promised land, to lead you to inherit the land of victory, the land of your authority in Christ, that the promised land of healing and health, the promised land of prosperity and provision, the promised land of God's purpose. Amen. 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 Praise God. So stick with me and we'll lead you to inherit the land. Amen. Hallelujah. So what I was looking at Joshua and in the book of Joshua, hear his story. What made him? I asked myself the question, what made Joshua, what made him a good leader? And I came up with two things. I'm sure there would be more. If we did a more in-depth study of the book of Joshua and Joshua's life, I'm sure we could come up with more. But two things that I came up with. Number one, he was completely committed to obeying the voice of the Lord and carrying out his instructions. So Joshua was completely committed to obeying the voice of the Lord and carrying out his instructions. And we see that in the crossing of the Jordan. We see that in the victory at Jericho. We see that in his dealing with the sin of Achan. Remember that? Remember how Achan had, when they went into Jericho, and God had strictly told them, destroy everything. Don't take any plunder. Don't take any loot or any plunder from Jericho. This Jericho is wholly devoted to the Lord. And Achan found this nice gold wedge when he went in. And he said, you know, I think I'll just keep that. Nobody will know. And he kept that. So the next town that the children of Israel were to conquer, the town of Ai, they failed miserably. They were defeated. And Joshua sought the Lord about it. And the Lord said, well, it's because there's sin in your camp. And he revealed to him through a process that Achan had taken that gold. It was all supposed to be devoted to the Lord, and no one was to take it. Now, the other cities that they took, they were able to take the spoils. But the first city, honor the Lord. Yes. See, Jericho is a type of tithing. Yeah. What they were supposed to do in Jericho, they said, all that belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. They were able to take the spoils in the other city. That was the first city that they went into. That's another side thought, but that's good. But in all that, in the crossing of the Jordan River, in the victory at Jericho, in dealing with Achan, Joshua was completely committed to obeying the voice of the Lord and carrying out the will of God. That's what made him a good leader. He was completely committed to obeying the voice of the Lord and carrying out the Lord's instructions. You know, there's a lot that's been written about leadership the last several years in Christian circles. But just personally, and I'm not against any of that. I think, you know, there's a lot of good material there, and a lot of it's based on scriptural principles, certainly. But I've just not been given to really study along that line personally. But these points that I see in Joshua are things that I really do want to cultivate in my life, to be completely committed to obeying the voice of the Lord and carrying out His instruction. Amen. I think that's foremost in being a good leader. And then the second point, the second thing is this. Joshua was willing to set an example for the people to follow. And so we see at the beginning in chapter 24 of Joshua, if you want to find verse 14, we'll look at that in a moment. At the beginning of the chapter, Joshua gathered the people together and he begins to recount the history of the children of Israel from when God called Abraham. He talks about God calling Abram and calling him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he begins to remind them of who they are and where he had brought them from and how he brought them out of Egypt. He's reminding the people of that. And then I think that's what a good leader needs to do as well, is to remind the people where God has brought you from, what God's purpose is for you. We're not just, you know, this is not just some haphazard thing. God has a plan. God has a purpose. You need to see the big picture of what God's doing. And so Joshua was reminding them of that. And then he gets to verse 14 of a chapter. We find it in verse 14 of chapter 24 in Joshua. And he says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what Joshua said. So Joshua was willing to set an example. He said, you serve who you decide. You need to choose who you're going to serve. But I'm telling you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he set an example for the people to follow. Amen? And so I believe those two things, Joshua's commitment to obey the voice of the Lord and carry out his instructions, and then number two, his willingness to set an example for the people to follow. I think that's what makes Joshua a good leader. Praise God. Now, why? I asked this question as I was studying this as well. Why is good leadership necessary? Why is it so important? Well, we find the answer to that in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 2. It's kind of a sad commentary, but a lot of the book of Judges is a sad commentary. There's some bright spots in there, but there's some sad commentary in there as well. In Judges chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua." They were his contemporaries, but they lived longer than him. And the people, as long as Joshua was leading them, the people served the Lord. And as long as these people, these elders who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel, as long as they were alive, the people served the Lord. Verse 8, it says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of the inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Verse 11 says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. So we see why good leadership is necessary, don't we? Yes. In that absence of good leadership, it says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and they served the Baals because there was an absence of leadership, an absence of good leadership. But then the previous verse really is the one we need to see as well. And back in verse 10, it says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Why? Why didn't they? Why didn't they know the Lord? And why didn't they know the work that he had done for Israel? Well, the most obvious answer to me was because their parents failed to do what God told them to do throughout the book of Deuteronomy. You read it over and over in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, you know, be careful that you teach your children, that you speak of them when you walk by the way, when you sit in your house, when you lie down and when you rise up, that you write them on your house, that you keep the word of God and you keep what God has done, what God has said, that you keep it in front of your children. And so there was a failure when we talk about leadership. See, we're all leaders in one way or the other. There may be a scenario where you're a follower, not a leader, but there may be another scenario or relationship in your life where you're the leader and there are people following you. And obviously, these parents, the children of Israel, these parents didn't see themselves or didn't take their role and place as leaders to teach their children and to train their children and bring them up in the ways of the Lord. And that generation, it says, they grew up and they didn't know the Lord and they didn't know the work which he had done for Israel. And so, as a result of that, they stopped following God. So, Israel then entered into during that time, after the death of Joshua and these leaders, they entered into a turbulent and an unstable period in their history. And it was due to a lack of consistent leadership. In fact, the Bible says about them during this time, it says, everyone did what was right in their own sight. There was no real leadership there, was there? We get over to the fifth chapter of Judges. And they had a lady that was leading them at the time named Deborah. She was a valiant woman of God. And Deborah made this statement in Judges chapter 5, verse 2. It's an important and powerful statement. She says here, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. In other words, that is a good situation. That is bound to produce good results. That is bound to produce blessing. That is bound to produce success. What? When leaders lead. So leadership is important. But Deborah also notes here that followership is important as well. When leaders lead in Israel, when people willingly offer themselves. Somebody said, when you're leading and no one else is following, you're just taking a walk. Well, I don't want to just be taking a walk, do you? Amen. So leading and following are both important. Praise God. So let's look at a word to followers. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. This is out of the English Standard Version. Hebrews 13, 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So we're told here in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, remember your leaders. And he tells us specifically what leaders he's talking about, those who spoke to you the word of God. And he says two things here. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So those are two things that we need to look for in leaders. We need to look for the example of faith that they set, and we need to look at the example of the life that they live. We talked about this some on Wednesday night. You know, it's not enough just that they're teaching the right thing. How are they living? How are they living? How are they conducting their lives? What kind of example of faith are they setting? And so that's the way you should choose your leaders, and that's also the kind of leader you should be, because, again, there are people following you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, he goes on still in the 13th chapter here of Hebrews in verse 17, and he says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Do you know I'm accountable to God? Now, not totally for you. You're going to give an account of yourself to God. But I'm going to give an account to God on what I taught you, on how I taught you the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And how I led you. I'll give an account to God. See, I think we all need to get back to that understanding. I think the entire body of Christ, I think leaders, followers, all of us need to get back to that understanding that one day we will give an account to God for our lives. We'll give an account to God for what He entrusted to us. And I realize that one day I'm going to give an account to God for what I preached to you, for what I taught you, for how I led you. Did I lead you to inherit the land? Now again, there's two sides to it. I can't inherit the land for you. I can lead you. But if you're going to inherit your promised land, you're going to have to follow. Amen. You're going to have to follow the Word of God that is taught and preached, and the example that is set. You're going to have to follow it for you to. I can't inherit it for you. Amen. So you have a responsibility as well. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But the Scripture tells me here that my work is to watch over your soul. Praise God. I take that responsibility seriously. And I realize that I'm accountable to God. Your job, your part then, as a follower, it says, he talks to them, he says, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Amen. Yeah, now that doesn't mean in my personal life. It means as me standing in this role as your pastor, standing and teaching and preaching the Word of God and standing up and saying, this is the direction God wants us to go as a church. That's the part that you're to obey and to do what I say, follow that leadership. And then he says, give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. How many of you think it'd be better that if I'm able to lead with joy, that you're going to benefit from that? Amen. Amen. Well, that's what the Scripture says, that if our leaders are able to lead with joy, that if it's not sorrow and drudgery and misery, but if they're leading with joy, then the whole group is going to benefit, right? Amen. 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 So, is anybody interested in some things that you could do for me to do my work with joy? Yes. Amen. Cool. Okay, four of you? Yes. All right. Praise the Lord. Here's some things that you can do for your leaders so they can do their work with joy. Pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. Amen. I trust that you pray for Robin and me. Here's another one. Come to church. You're here today. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but amen. You know, tell your friends that weren't here. Come to church. That's the thing that you can contribute to my joy just by coming to church. So why, Pastor, do you have an ego? Do you want to preach to a big crowd? Well, I hope that's not it. I hope I'm dealing with that and have dealt with that in my life. But no, I want to see you benefit from the Word of God that's being ministered. I want to see your progress. and joy in the faith, as Paul said. Amen. So you have to be here. Amen. You need to be here for that to happen. Plus, you bring a supply of the Spirit. Yes. When you're not here, that supply of the Spirit is missing. Did you realize that?
Yes.
Amen. You bring a supply of the Spirit with you that we all benefit from. You say, well, I don't know what that is. I've never noticed it. Well, it's there. It's here when you're here, and it's missing when you're not here. So you bring a supply of the Spirit. You also contribute to the spiritual momentum that we can build together. Amen. When you're here. Amen? So just coming to church is not a whole lot to ask, I don't think, but it can make a big difference.
Amen.
Be faithful with your tithes and offerings. That's another thing that can contribute to my joy. Praise God. And for me to be able to do my job with joy and not with sorrow. Now, I don't get a percentage of the offerings that you give. I have a set salary. So it's not that the more you give, the more I make. It doesn't work that way. I have a set salary. So that's not it. But I am responsible as the head of this ministry. I'm responsible to believe God for the finances that come in to run this church.
Amen.
and for us to do all that we're called to do. Well,
amen.
I don't mind taking that responsibility. I don't mind being responsible to do that. And so, well, that's, and I have to, and my eyes are on the Lord. I'm trusting Him to provide.
Amen.
Now, there's two sides to that. You can't just say, you know, I know you're agreeing, you're saying amen there, but then there's another side of it. And you can't say, well, good, all right, Pastor, good, you believe God. We're going to go do our own thing. No, there's two sides to this coin. One side is, it's my job as the head of this ministry to believe God and to trust God for the finances. It's all of us, I include myself because I'm a tither just like you into this church. It's all of our jobs because the Scripture tells us this is how God designed it to operate, for us to bring our tithes and offerings. Amen. That's how the work of the local church is to be supported. That's how the kingdom of God and the work of God in the earth is to be supported, through tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Praise God. When you're faithful to do that, when you're faithful to tithe and bring offerings, it enables us to do all that we need to do. Praise God. And it's just a whole lot better.
Amen.
It's just a whole lot more joyful. Amen. To say, yes, we've got the money to do this project. I'd much rather say that than say, well, we're going to have to wait on that. We don't have the money. We can't do that yet. I'd rather be able to say, yes, we can do this. Yes, we can sow this offering into these other ministries. And yes, we can do this project. And yes, we can finish this for the kids and all those things. I want to be able to say that and do that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So there's two sides there. And then the next thing, be involved in carrying out the vision of the church. Get involved when we say we need volunteers, we need people to help, we've got a special event coming, we need people to help, or we need people in this ministry, we need ushers, or we need children's ministry. Think about that. Pray about, Lord, can I be a part of that? Or don't just sit back and say, well, I'm not going to do anything. Be involved. Be involved in carrying out the vision of the church. Amen. There's another one. Don't gossip and complain. Don't gossip and complain. Those are two things that just really create sorrow and misery for a leader. When folks are grumbling and gossiping and complaining. Amen. And I'm not addressing any issues right now as I throw these things out. I think things are going well. I don't know that there's, at least nobody's telling me. Hopefully among yourselves, you're not gossiping and complaining. Amen. I sense there's harmony and unity and peace here. But that's an area that the devil can get in and really wreak havoc and really poison and hinder the work of a local church.
Amen.
And really cause a lot of grief to a leader. So let's don't do that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. You know, Timothy was a leader. Timothy was a pastor himself. He was a leader. In fact, Paul told him, he said, Timothy, the things that you've heard me speak in the presence of many witnesses, you commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy was a leader of leaders. But Timothy was also a follower. And we looked at this scripture Wednesday night, but look at it again with me. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But you, Paul is talking to Timothy, and Paul is saying this about Timothy, but you have carefully followed. He did what?
Follow.
Carefully followed. Carefully followed. You have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Those were, what, is that seven things? I think seven things in Paul's life that he said, Timothy, you were able to follow this in my life. Praise God. You've carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, and my perseverance. So I purpose today before you, I purpose as a leader, number one, to faithfully teach and preach to you the whole counsel of God's Word. I purpose to faithfully preach and teach to you the whole counsel of God's Word. So, Pastor, what do you mean by the whole counsel of God's Word? I mean the whole thing. I mean that I'm not just going to emphasize one aspect or one attribute of the Word of God or the character of God. I have to preach the whole counsel of God. For you to grow and develop the way you should, you need the whole counsel of God. Amen? Amen. And it's important that we understand that. You know, what if you, Brother Carr, what if you went to work out, and when you went and worked out, you only worked out the right side of your body? You know, your right bicep, you know, your right leg, you know. If you just did, after 6 months, you would really look odd, wouldn't you? And if you never did anything with your left side, and you just worked out your right side, I mean, you'd come out of the gym looking something like this. You know, this side shriveled up and this side all pumped up. Well, that's what can happen spiritually if we just emphasize one thing. Amen. We need the whole counsel of God. Amen. So I purpose to faithfully teach and preach to you the whole counsel of God's Word. And then number two, I purpose to be completely committed to obeying the voice of the Lord, His Word, and the leading of His Spirit, and to carry out those instructions. Amen. And then number three, I purpose as a leader to set an example of faith, an example of love, an example of purpose, an example of patience and perseverance that you can see and follow. And I'll leave you with this in closing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. This is out of God's Word translation. I appeal to you, to your spiritual leaders. I make this appeal as a spiritual leader. This is Peter speaking here. He says, I make this appeal as a spiritual leader who also witnessed Christ's sufferings and will share in the glory that will be revealed. So Peter says, I'm a spiritual leader and I'm talking to you. The King James uses the term elder. He's really talking to pastors here. This is a scripture where the term elder refers to the pastoral ministry. And we see that by definition of what he tells them to do. He says, be shepherds over the flock God has entrusted to you. And there's another thing about leadership when it comes to the body of Christ and it comes to the local church. Leaders in the local church, the head leader in the local church is known as a shepherd, right? Amen. And we as the people of God, we're known as sheep, aren't we? That's the example that the scripture uses. Well, shepherds lead the flock. You know, you're not cattle, you know, and I'm not the cowboy. You know, we're not on a cattle drive. Amen. You're a sheep and I'm a shepherd. Amen. Praise God. Now I'm a sheep too in the context as well, but in this context, the local church, sheep and a shepherd. The shepherd leads. Amen. And so it's my job to lead. And another thing too, you know, the reason that he uses that is I think he wants to let us know that sheep, that it's not a good scenario when a sheep's out by itself. Right. Just in the natural, that doesn't work, does it? No. A sheep needs to be in the sheepfold. Yes. A sheep needs to be in that sheepfold. Well, that's the local church. Amen. Amen. As sheep, we need a sheepfold. Amen. As sheep, we need a gathering place. We need a local church. Amen. Praise God. And so he says in verse 2, he says, be shepherds over the flock God has entrusted to you. Watch over it as God does. Don't do this because you have to, but because you want to. I want to be here. I want you to know that. I want to be here. I count it a privilege to lead you. I count it a privilege to be your pastor. And I want to do this. Praise God. Because you want to. Don't do it out of greed, but out of a desire to serve. Don't be rulers over the people entrusted to you, but be examples for the flock to follow. You know, Brother Randy mentioned that when he was, I think he was still in prison, when he first got out of prison, that he got exposed to the shepherding movement was big in that time, and they wanted him to come and be a part of that and be a speaker. They liked his testimony. They wanted him involved in that. And he said he almost got involved in it, but the Lord directed him away from that. And that shepherding movement was that the leaders there, they were responsible for your whole life. And I thought, dear Lord, who in the world would want that? Yeah. As a leader, who would? I mean, I've got enough decisions to make on my own just running my life. I don't want to run your life, my Lord. Figure out on your own what color socks you're supposed to wear. I don't care what you have for dinner. Amen. I mean, they would just make all kinds of, you know, it's ridiculous. Anyway, don't be rulers over the people entrusted to you, but be examples. It's not my job to rule over you. It's my job to lead you, and it's my to feed you the Word of God, and it's my job to be an example to you. Amen. Praise God. So he says, feed the flock. He says, don't be rulers over them, but be examples for the flock to follow. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Pastors are under shepherds. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That's what I'm living for. That's my aim. That's my goal. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.